Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Good afternoon, Keith Overt, broadcasting live from DeVille Square for Pensacola Business Radio on this fine November afternoon, which does not feel cold at all, for the record. I've got some great guests in our studio today. I've got Jamie Bates from Liberus Law Firm. I've got Jolynn Barneycoat from Clever Ogre, and I have Lee Broussard from True Choice Telecom. Good afternoon.
Yay. Good afternoon.
Hi.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to get right into this stuff, Jamie. Talk to us about the firm.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having
us.
The firm is, we're a full service law firm here in Pensacola. We primarily do real estate, business transactions. We do a good bit of litigation as well, commercial litigation, foreclosure defense, those sorts of things. We also, the owner of the firm, Mr. Charles Liberus, is also very active in land development in the area. So we do a lot of land development work, and it's really cool because we're able to sit down with the developers and real estate professionals and not only serve them as a legal staff, but also understand where they're coming from as developers and also business people, because we're also in that world as well. So we can kind of cut through a lot of the business side of things. We can get to it a lot quicker than other law firms, perhaps.
And you guys have been in Pensacola for...
Yeah, I joke that Mr. Liberus has practiced under all five flags. It's flown over Pensacola.
I think that's very true,
so,
though.
Yes.
And so what size do you think you guys are? Are you a small firm? Are you a large firm?
Yeah, we're a small firm, but we have contacts. We work on many different types of cases throughout the region, where we'll bring in other attorneys to assist us with matters, if it's above what our staffing allows us to do.
Yeah. And so a lot of what you guys, I think, are doing now is you're doing a lot of business sales and succession stuff, correct?
We are. Yeah. That's a very busy area for us right now. A lot of businesses in the area, for example, it's, companies have been in business for, 20, 30 years. The owners are nearing retirement age and they don't necessarily have a succession plan in place. They don't necessarily have family to give the business to, whatever the case may be. So we work with a lot of clients that are, they will approach us, and we'll work with them on selling their business, whether it be through a third party purchaser or through a private equity firm. And in a lot of cases, the owners are able to kind of cash out their equity in their business, but also maintain their job. They're
yeah.
able to maintain a position depending on how the deal works out. So it's a way to keep their business going, past the time that they will be involved with it, and also reap some of the rewards for their life's work.
Yeah. Do you find yourself working more with brokers in that kind of instance, or is it business to business, or is it kind
of? It's business to business.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's business to business. We have a pretty extensive network of private equity firms that Mr. Liberus has developed relationships with over the years. So we really handle it with kid gloves, because there's a lot of confidential information that's involved with that, obviously as a law firm, but also you don't want word getting out that you're thinking about selling your business.
Yeah.
Because it can create issues among the rank and file employees, with your suppliers, people you have contracts with, those
yeah.
sorts
people
of things.
People start freaking out with that
people
kind of stuff,
start
huh?
freaking out. They do. So we really work very hard to just keep it as confidential and as quiet as possible as
yeah.
we work these deals.
So do a lot of people realize that you need lawyers to help you through this process?
I don't know if a lot of people realize that. If they try to do it themselves, they quickly find out that they do.
That they need you, huh?
Yeah, because there's a in any type of deal like this, there's a good bit of due diligence work that's done on that's done on kind of on the buy side, and there's just a large amount of information that you have to gather and kind of formulate and put into a package that can be sent along to the prospective purchasers. So
sure.
It gets very it's tedious, and you do need a skilled attorney like Mr. Liberus and some of the other attorneys in our firm to help you with that, or whether it's us or another firm, it's a good idea to have an attorney
yeah.
involved. with those types of things.
Well, and like you just said, you put a package together. So you guys are going as, I mean, it's going, it's not just, oh, so-and-so wants to sell the store down the road. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're actually putting almost and I say presentation for lack of a better term, but you're putting some stuff together to where it's actually like I've got some literature in my hand for purchasing some
business. Yeah. We work with other vendors. We have a person we work with up in North Carolina that's I kind of call him a CFO for hire. He's an independent gentleman, but he does all the financial modeling, which is very important to determine, you know, cash flow, you know, because the businesses are normally sold on multiples of, you know, certain financial information. So you want to make sure that those are done properly so you're given an accurate picture of what you're selling. Yeah. So that, you know,
so you don't get sued later.
Not that you don't get sued later, but also that you are getting, you know, a fair value for your business, you know, cause it's not worth doing it if you're not going to, you know, get a fair value. So putting that package together, in an easy to understand format so that, you know, you do kind of have that piece of paper you can throw down and say, you know, hey, these are our numbers and this is how we arrived at it. So we really try to be a, you know, one-stop shop for people that are doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you said that you guys have structured deals where people can continue working in
that
business.
Correct.
So how does that go? And I guess my first question is really, I thought you were selling the business. Why do you want to keep working there?
Well, it's a lot of people want to, in that situation, they're wanting to cash out their equity. They're wanting to, you know, cause they're companies that are not sold on the public exchange,
right.
You know, so their membership interest or their interest in their business have no value on the, you know, there's nothing to sell,
right.
You know, typically, but in that scenario, you're able to, cash out, like I said, some of your equity, if not all of your equity, and maintain, your job because, you know, my dad used to joke, he was a minister and he preached for 53 years and he says, you know, after retirement, the next big event is death, and he wasn't interested in that. So, a lot of people, you know, they're interested in cashing out their equity piece, but they want to keep having somewhere to come to work, you know, because it's in a small business, it's your life, you know, it's your baby. And, some people want to move on and, you know, go play golf or go sailing or whatever the case may be. But, you know, that's the scenario where people will stay on.
Yeah. And even like transitioning your business, I guess.
That's another part of it. A lot of times particularly in a private equity firm where they're coming in, they'll be bringing in their own people to eventually take over control, but you need that person to stay in place for a year or two.
Yeah. Right where to kick the copier to make it keep working.
Exactly. Exactly.
Very cool. So, we were talking about how you don't want to let people know that you're doing this. Mm-hmm. So what are some of the strategies for keeping things like this confidential? And
well, again, that's where the, you know, using a law firm really comes into play because, you know, lawyers have, you know, the ethical responsibility of maintaining confidentiality.
Yeah.
And, everyone that you deal with in these types of scenarios are aware of that because, you know, the private equity firms that do this type of business understand, you know, the nature of the beast.
Right.
You know, they're not going to, you know, go blabbing it around. So, you know, when you're dealing with professionals, they understand the issues and, they're able to keep that confidentiality in place to ensure those things don't happen. So that's the main thing is just dealing with professionals who understand the process.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because as much as it would be bad for the one owning the business, it'd be just as bad for the one purchasing it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That makes complete sense. So, okay, so I want to sell a business. Walk me through this process.
Okay. When you sell a business, typically, in a lot of cases, more profitable companies in this area are actually approached by private equity firms to purchase it. Okay. And then normally it's just, you know, it's negotiations that go back and forth. They have lawyers, you have lawyers, and you negotiate the deal. Once it goes under contract, it goes into that due diligence phase where a lot of deals, you know, fall apart, you know, because you start pulling back the blanket and you see everything. So you go through that phase. And if everybody's, you know, still on board after that, then you move to closing. And, you know, then there's the transitional period between kind of handing the keys off. from the buyer to the seller.
Yeah.
And all those issues. And after the closing is normally when the announcement is made saying such and such company sure. took over and, you know, but, from our experiences, the most successful transitions are, it's really not, you don't know anything is different the day after the sale is completed than you right. did before, you know.
Do you guys, do you find people coming to you or when you find people coming to you sort of in the beginning here, are you guys a resource of other people that may be potential buyers?
Yes, we are. Yes. Mr. Libris, you know, like I said, he's been, practicing and had a business, you know, had business interest, you know, in this area forever and just has his contact list is very,
it's pretty
very deep. Yeah. So, you know, it's a good resource, you know, if you're looking to sell your business, you know, to potentially contact us and, you know, just to see if we can put something together.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what do you think some of the questions are that people need to ask before they're even considering to sell the business?
Yeah. I think the biggest, particularly in a small business, if it were me, you know, that's how I kind of think about it. If it were me, you know, what are some of my personal goals? What are some of my life goals? You know, why is now the best time for me to sell?
Right.
Why do I want to sell now? Is something, changed in my life where I want to do something different? I went through something, you know, similar, in my past where I just, you know, I decided to make a significant change and move closer to my family, you know, so, people have, you know, life happens outside of work, you know, so, you know, really, you know, what's happening in my life, or the company's life, what are my long-term goals? How is this, you know, how is this transaction going to impact me financially?
Yeah.
What are the tax ramifications? You know, those types of business questions. But, you know, to me, again, the biggest question that people need to ask is, you know, what are my personal long-term goals? And will selling my business help get me there? Because a lot of people, like I said, they want to keep the business or they want to continue to work in the business. Some want to, you know, go on and do charitable things, you know, pursue, you know, something else,
yeah.
you know, whatever the case may be.
Very cool. What do you think? I know you know this and it's not what do you think, but what happens to somebody selling their business? What happens to their employees?
Again, the most successful, you know, companies, in these sales, it's the same day one of the new company
yeah.
because they need people to, you know, to run the business. And most of the companies that we are dealing with are, a lot of technical companies where specialized training is required.
Sure.
So you're not going to be able to clear house and bring in, you know, a whole new workforce and pay them half of the pay rate.
Well, and a lot of times you may not want to either.
No, because
one of the reasons you wanted to buy the business was it was probably successful and who was running it to
begin
with.
Well, you have all the, particularly you have the salespeople who have all the contacts with the, you know, the client base
yeah.
and those types of things. So obviously you don't want to, you know, get away from that. So, but again, it's, whether or not it impacts the company's employees or not, that's where the confidentiality really comes into play because people get nervous when they,
sure.
You ask the question because people get nervous about that when there's a change
yeah.
in the ownership.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, if I walked in tomorrow I don't think I have a very difficult sales or business model, but you walk in tomorrow, what's the average length it takes to make a kind of transaction like this?
It really depends on the business. You know, some of them can go, you know, 90 days, you know, it's just, you have to build in adequate time. And the thing that eats up the most time is the due diligence phase, going
yeah.
through all the documents, going through all the financial, letting your lawyers get in, you know, review everything. The other side's lawyers, their accountants, and that just takes time, you know. But normally, you know, once the due diligence phase is completed, I mean, we had one recently that we completed the due diligence phase on Thursday and closed it on Friday.
Yeah, I was going to ask what the fastest one you've seen
yeah,
is.
So, it was a very quick turnaround. So, but again, it really depends on, you know, and, you know, lawyers are historically, procrastinative. I don't know if that's a word or not, but, you know, typically, I mean, the reality is, the good lawyers are the busy lawyers.
Yeah.
So, you know, sometimes you kind of have that built into it as well, but it really is a deal by deal.
Yeah. Well, and I always say none of us are procrastinators. We just like to work under really, really close deadlines.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, well, Jamie, thanks for hanging out with us today. Let's tell everybody where they can find you and get some information.
Yeah, we're located at 212 West Intendencia here in Pensacola. We also have offices in Fort Walton Beach and Perdido Key. We just launched, I'm the marketing director for the firm. We just launched a Facebook page. So, yeah. We'll be talking about that here in a little bit, but, we're on Facebook, just Libris Law Firm. And also our website is, www.librislaw.com.
Very neat. Well, thank you very much for coming in and talking about it today. We hope you hang out for a little while.
Absolutely.
Okay. Mostly because I locked the doors. You guys stay in here anyway, right? No, I'm just kidding. So, moving on to our next guest, we got Lee Broussard here from True Choice Telecom. Man, good afternoon. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Why don't you tell us what True Choice is?
Well, basically, we're 65 carriers, one local contact. We have the ability to compare voice, data, wireless, and cloud solutions nationwide for all your telecom needs, including phone systems. Basically, we use our expertise to make sure you get the best product for the best price. Kind of like if you were to go buy insurance, you know, Progressive may give you, say, 10 different carriers, and they're going to make a suggestion. And sometimes they're lower, sometimes they're higher. But we basically let you make the choice, the true choice.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So why do I want to use that as opposed to any other, just going and picking my own?
Well, you know, most of the time, if you go to talk to someone, there's a company that does voice, there's a company that does data, and there are companies that can do all of that from phone systems and so on. But you're going to sit down, you're going to speak with a sales rep from each individual company. Let's say you're going to do a quote, you've got to do all three. You may meet with, you know, 3 to 10 people, just depending. But what's the best product that that salesperson can sell for their company?
Yeah.
Their product.
Right.
You know, basically, I can come in with an unbiased service comparison and give them choices, you know, and I'll give them recommendations, but if they use me, I'm not drinking the company Kool-Aid.
Yeah.
You know, I'm basically saying, hey, here's the solution that fits your needs. Which one do you want to go with?
Right.
You know, and that way they actually get some control over it. Plus, I can give them quotes from any carrier just about that's in your area. So that way you really, you'd be surprised. You know, most people think there's only AT&T or Cox in this area in Pensacola, but there are several other options you can go with. And the biggest thing right now is hosted voice, voice over IP. There are literally thousands of carriers over the United States that do that service, and there are strengths and weaknesses to each one.
Yeah. So speaking of that, how many do you represent?
Well, basically over 65 or close to 100. We really could say 100 plus, but I'd rather it, you know, it's hit or miss.
That's a lot of work for you at 100 plus.
But, you know, I mean, basically if you were to come to me as a business and say, hey, Lee, I've got a, you know, 10-year-old phone system that's about to die, you know, and we've got voice and data, I would find out what you have now, you know, what you're using, what you'd want it to do going forward. And then I could go back and literally give you a side-by-side comparison of every product and price that's out there. And, you know, let you make an informed decision.
Yeah. What do you think is the fastest growing product in your telecommunications?
It's definitely hosted voice. You know, a lot of people just say voice over IP. In the past, VoIP was not great. You know, I mean, I don't know if you ever had Vonage at Home or one of the older carriers. It sounded like you were in a tunnel. There was some drop off. People still think it's like that. Guess what? It's not, you know. The voice quality is so much better. There's actually high definition voice now, which if you ever get a demonstration of one of the phone systems that I can offer you, they sound like you're literally in the same room as someone. And it's, you know, real clear. I mean, there's so many things those systems would do now that lets a smaller business compete with a larger corporation. You know, there's different budgets, but you can literally get the same things now with those tools. And hosted VoIP will eventually replace the existing phone system as we know it today.
Yeah. Okay, so you're talking about replacing phone systems. So let's be honest. Some of that stuff can be a huge cost to a company, right?
Absolutely.
Okay, but I think you guys have a solution that's not a huge cost to a company.
Right, and there, like I said, with multiple vendors, I have the options to literally rent, per se, everything you need to run your business. You know, a lot of people, they have an internal IT person. They have a telecom person on board with bigger firms. That's a high volume, high amount of money you have to spend for that.
Yeah.
Whereas you could get a fully managed system, which includes voice data and the system, you know, and it costs you less money. It's easier if you get a new employee and you need to add a handset on. There's not someone that has to physically walk around and do it. It's just very cost effective.
So, okay, that brings me to my very next question is, how do I know it's cost effective? I mean, are you going to come tell me? You're going to come check out, you know, what we have lined up here and tell
Absolutely.
Me if I can do better?
Yeah, we always start with what you have now. I mean, I'm going to look at what you have, and if it meets all your needs, I'll tell you to stay where you are, you know. But if there's something I can do better or improve some process, you know, to make you more time efficient or
yeah.
to give you better features such as voicemail to email. Like a lot of times I'll go to a customer and ask them, how do you get your voicemail? If someone leaves you a phone message, how are you going to know? Well, I'm at lunch, I come back, and my phone's blinking, so I know I got a voicemail, and I'll check it. Well, with today's technology, someone leaves you a voicemail, it'll still light your phone up when you get back,
yeah.
but it also can be forwarding voicemail to email, and most people have a smartphone now, right?
Right.
So they get their voicemail there in a WAV file, and you can listen to it wherever you're at. That way you can respond to a customer's needs for service, for sales. You're not missing those calls
yeah.
that you could miss if they say, well, that guy's not in. Let me call a competitor up, and boom, they get the sale because they answer the phone.
Yeah. So do you actually, like, do you have to go down into, like, for instance, let's say we're checking some stuff out here in this building. Do you actually need to physically be down into that building and see what they have, or are you able to do a lot of this?
I can do it if every customer's different.
You yeah.
know, for a larger firm, we're going to go on site and look at it. But, you know, generally, if I get copies of your most recent bills, I can look at it. I mean, that's common in our business, is that we ask for a bill. Look, I'm either going to be lower or I'm not going to be lower.
Yeah.
That's just how it is. And getting your bill, I can pinpoint what products you have and features so that I can give you a comparison to what you have.
Yeah.
And so that way I don't always have to be on site.
Yeah. Do you find yourself, when you're looking through some of this stuff, do you find yourself finding lots of unnecessary charges and things that businesses are getting dinged with?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Most business owners, if they open a new business, they call the phone company and say, hey, I'm opening a new restaurant. You know, I need phones.
Right.
And that person on the phone is going to sell you whatever it is that they have to sell you. And so a lot of times, a year or two down the road, most people don't really check out their communications bills on a regular basis. You'd be surprised. You know, I mean, to ask people all the time, hey, what do you got in there? Well, I don't know. You know, what speed internet? I don't know. You know, do you know if you got a good price? I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, these are little small things. When I go through a bill, I'll say, hey, are you using this feature? I didn't even know I had it.
Right.
You know, I'm like, well, do you want to keep it? You're being charged for it. You know, I can literally pinpoint those things, or maybe there's something they don't have that they do need now, and I might tell them about it, and then they want to add it on. So
right.
even though I might raise their bill in some cases, I might make it something that they really need, you know, resolve.
Yeah, sure. So, and we were talking earlier, and you used a term called sunsetting earlier.
Yeah.
So explain to everybody what that was, because I thought it was pretty, when you think about it growing up now, how a lot of that old phone network stuff's going away.
Well, I don't know how old you are, but
I'm old enough to know an original landline. So
I do actually remember, you know, having to tell my parents, don't get on the phone. I'm waiting for a call. And
yeah.
I could drag the cord down the hall, put the phone on the
yep.
door so you could talk.
Yeah.
To
rotary
them.
Dial, all that yeah. good. Yeah. Yeah.
Fun stuff. Uh-huh. That's the public service telephone network. It's, you know, run over copper. It's, you know, been the standard forever. They have managed to keep stretching that technology and over to make it work for certain things, and that's how we came up with DSL and now UVerse. But there is a time where it's going to just totally go away.
You yeah.
can, even the phone companies like the AT&T companies, they can find their equipment on eBay and buy it if they want to,
yeah.
cheaper than they can get it themselves.
Themselves, yeah.
Because people aren't using it anymore. So eventually the goal is for the FCC is in – 2018 to 2020, they want to start sunsetting the public service telephone network. And basically that just means they don't want to keep investing in infrastructure that's old. Will it totally go away? Probably not, because there are some people that have to have it, but the price is going to go up drastically
yeah.
for the people who do stay on older technology.
You're going to pay retro prices?
Yeah, I mean, a great example, a standard copper phone line might run you $30 in most cases. Now they're running anywhere from $95 to $100 and some
wow.
dollars, because the big telephone companies, they don't want you to use it anymore. They want you on an IP-based system
yeah.
because that's the wave of the future. You know, software updates can be done
less
remotely.
Maintenance.
You know, you don't have to have people that work for you to do all this stuff. You can use your money somewhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just tons of potential there.
Well, which is really cool. I mean, if you think about it, because, you know, that time was only, what, 20 years ago, maybe? And now here we are. Like you're saying, you don't even need landlines anymore. You really don't. So how funny is it that they can... It's almost like you see the old jerseys, you see the retro sports brands that are all higher numbers, and then they're going to charge retro for your phone line. So, let's tell everybody where they can find you and get in touch with you, so they know where to find you.
Well, basically, our website is truechoicetel.com. You can reach me at 850-659-2799 or L. Broussard at truechoicetel.com. And one other thing I just wanted to mention real quick, the other thing about hosted voice is unified communications. You're going to hear that term thrown around a lot out there. And basically what that means is any device, any place, any time, you can work. You know, basically, just for example, I have a desk phone at home. You would never know I wasn't in the office. If I call you, I can intercom between company employees. I can broadcast to everyone. It looks just like I'm there at the building. So just wanted to mention that because a lot of people work from their iPhone or their iPad or their laptop now. You could literally take that laptop, go to Vegas, go in a 25th floor room where you can't get a phone signal on your cell phone, but use your phone on your laptop to call your employees, do your business, whatever. So
I've actually used that technology doing some conference calls and stuff. And it's really cool because I'm not using the phone at all. You're dialing into the website. You're using the microphone off the computer. And then the other end, it sounds crystal clear.
Oh, yeah.
So very cool. So that's a service that you guys are offering and can hook people up with. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Anything telecom related.
That's it. Well, Lee, thanks for coming and hanging out with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. And, we're going to move on to our next guest. So Jolynn.
Hey.
You've been squirming over there, dying, waiting to talk.
Saving the best for last, right?
So, you're Clever Ogre.
Yes, sir.
You talk to us.
I'm happy to. So I work with Clever Ogre. I'm the Director of Business Development. And at Clever Ogre, we're an online marketing company, and we help you with your branding. We help you with your online marketing, basically your online presence. So these gentlemen have just given me the perfect segue, right? Because we talked about changes in businesses and changes in ownership and how to manage that. We talked about phones and mobile and all of that. We do all of that. We help you manage everything online and how you look online. And what's really important is a lot of people don't understand and realize how critical that online presence is. Because, you know, if you think back about how people used to access information about your business or find out how to find a business, they'd go to the phone book, they'd go to the classifieds in the newspaper, you know, maybe watch TV, whatever, to get an ad. What happens now? Now though, I got my words mixed up.
That's okay.
Up. Oh,
I've been doing it all day.
is Google's become a verb. So people go online, 96% of the people will go online to make either do research, to make a choice about where they're going to spend their money. So having a really good website, making sure it's mobile friendly, making sure that you've got really good content on your website, that you're talking about your business in a way that's going to help people understand what you do. And there's so many factors to it that we help you with all of that, actually. Yeah.
Well, so where would I start? I mean, how do you know if you need that?
If you're in business.
Yep. There you go. It's that simple, right? I mean, literally,
simple.
If you're in business and you are using
that
any form of technology.
Yes, sir.
So, and I have to say, my link was broken on my email. And when you got here, you're the first to have let me know that it wasn't working for Facebook. But that thought ran through my head of how many people have clicked on that link and it didn't go where it needed to go.
Right.
You know?
I know. And that's one of the biggest, obviously, the biggest barrier is if you click on something, it doesn't take you where you want to go. Or if it's slow, you know, we work with a lot of people who haven't really updated their website in a while.
Yeah.
And the website's become such an important part of a business. It's like a living, breathing resume about who you are and what you do. Why are you in business? And what's your message about how you're in business and what you bring? That it's really critical to update that. And Google rewards you for that. There's about 200 factors that Google looks at when they decide how to rank you. And that's one of them. Are you updating your information? Do you have a lot of good information? Is it unique? You know, all of those things are really, really important.
So define an update. Can't I just go and change one thing every day? Does that count?
Doesn't count.
Ah, so what does?
What counts is, are you updating the information that people are really looking for? For example, a blog is a really great way to update information on your website and can have a continuous stream of information that people are looking for when they're doing research. So that's one way to do it. Making sure that your content is unique is another very important way to make sure. And your business has, most businesses are changing over time,
right,
where you're offering different things or you're different people are looking for different things.
Yeah.
So you need to make sure you reflect that on your site, that it's not out of date and that you don't have incorrect information, because that's very frustrating to the end user.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I keep hearing the term SEO like crazy.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, from doing the Radio X stuff and Pensacola Business Radio, and, you know, we're creating a page every day when we add the interviews and we share bios and links for all of our guests. But one of the boxes at the bottom has SEO. Yes. And I think I sit there for probably 20 minutes per page typing in different words, but had no clue what it was and
right.
still really don't think I understand it, other than I know if I use these words over and over and over, they'll pop up and I'll attract some people. Is that how that works? See, this is why I'm asking.
All right. So if we can back up a little bit and talk about Google.
Yeah.
And really what Google is, and I don't mean to oversimplify in any way, but Google's just really one big library.
Yeah.
You know, it's caching all the sites and putting them away in its memory bank so that when you do some keyword phrases or you type in a phrase about what you're looking for, it can immediately bring up choices for you. That's part of why people keep coming back to Google.
Yeah.
So I need to know Google as Google. I need to know what you offer and should I recommend you to somebody looking for what you're typing in.
Right.
Are you going to pick a little pamphlet or are you going to pick a big encyclopedia? So if you have just a little bit of information versus a lot of information.
Right.
So when you think about yourself as a person, when somebody asks you, hey, who would you refer as a somebody who wants to sell their business, for example,
right.
who would you refer me to? What law firm would you refer me to? You're going to probably refer somebody you're familiar with that
right.
has a lot of experience, that's good at what they do because they have good reviews.
Right.
They have a lot of information out there that I can go to and they're well thought of. And there's so many factors. So if you're a brand new person, you got a big, you know, road to hoe because there's a lot of information that other people have put out there ahead of you. But we can still help you. So.
Yeah. So how do you help with that? Is it, cause I guess some of what wraps around my head is this sort of brand recognition kind of?
It's brand recognition. SEO stands for search engine optimization. We like to call it search experience optimization.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Because, which phrase am I going to use today?
Right.
Yeah.
Because we're really shaping the experience that somebody has with you. And what a lot of businesses are really coming to realize is it isn't about the number or quantity of people that they have hitting on their website.
Right.
It's really about the quality. Am I in front of the client that I'd really like to have come in the door? And not only do I have them going to my website, but are they converting? Are they becoming an actual client of mine? And that's what it's all about. So we really help you by listening to you and asking you a lot of questions about what is your ideal client? What does that person look like? My biggest challenge, frankly, with a business owner is getting someone to get out of their own head.
Yeah.
I need you to not look at your business through your own eyes. I really need you to look at your business through a potential client's
eyes.
Yeah,
consumer.
And what's going to encourage them to really do business with you.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's simple. Sometimes it's very complex.
So speaking of that, what do you find a lot of people that are in their head? I mean, what do you find that they miss? What's the difference between a business owner looking at a page and a consumer looking at a page?
A lot. There's a lot of things because there's such a lack of really understanding what people are looking for. It's a conversation.
Yeah.
And if you've noticed on Google, for example, there's called intuitive search. You may have noticed in the last year or so, Google finishes the search for you.
Yeah.
They're trying to help you get you there quicker, trying to anticipate what you need. And that search it's basically on past search that you've done and popular search. So they want to anticipate what you need so they can get you to the right place quickly so you keep coming back to Google. So when I come to a website, you have 3 to 6 seconds to tell me that I'm in the right place.
Right.
Literally. You have that long. So if you make it hard for me to understand where am I, what do you do, can you help me, those are the main questions. And then how do I get a hold of you? If there are roadblocks to any of those, or how can I get more information Those are very typical things that a business owner won't see. And they don't, the updating of the website is really critical. And yeah. looking, like if you have a little box of a website versus a full screen website, full screen website is the norm. And here's the big kicker. Google in April said, hey, if you don't have a website that's mobile friendly, guess what?
Yeah.
We're going to downgrade you because 60% of the people are accessing information
That's
on their
so
mobile
true,
phone or their tablet.
Yeah.
So they literally have penalized businesses who are not mobile friendly. And we see a lot of that where people have not gone to, you know, make their website mobile friendly.
Yeah. Okay. So, God, so many questions I want to ask. How do you make your website mobile friendly?
Well, that's a secret.
Yeah.
There's actually a couple ways. There's a couple ways you can make it mobile friendly. You can basically kind of have a mobile separate mobile site,
right?
Which is sometimes a little less expensive. Some businesses will opt for that if they don't have the cash flow or the budget. The unfortunate thing with that is then you've got two separate sites,
right? So it's twice the work, twice the content,
and you lose often. You lose your branding and your, you know, it's just not the best solution. So the best solution is what we call a responsive website. Because there's so many different mobile devices out there, we probably all in this room have different mobile phones. You probably have.
Yeah, I think you're right.
You probably have a tablet. You probably, yeah. or you have a laptop. You have a desktop. There's all different size screens, and so a responsive website is going to adjust to whatever size screen and still maintain your branding integrity, which is really important. So and I can read it. Have you ever gone to a website on your mobile phone?
Yeah.
It's like, you got to make it big. Like you go.
Right. Well, and that's, like, and that's the stuff that's not built that way.
So
and,
frustrating.
And as a business owner or somebody trying to get a message across, it's, right. You're going to lose it quick.
Right. So that's probably, if I had to pinpoint the number one biggest frustration of the user out there is the websites aren't user friendly. And then the second would be is they're not up to date. They're just not up to date.
Yeah.
So making sure your website is up to date, has really good information, it's unique content is really critical. And when I say that, a lot of people look at me like, well, what does that mean exactly? So franchises really have a hard time with that because they're all the same.
Right.
And Google downgrades you if you have the same information on your website
as the other 400 McDonald's that are out there.
Right. So you have to have unique content on your site. And a lot of business owners, frankly, aren't writers.
Yeah.
So they're not blog writers. They're not content writers. They don't really know how to write a marketing message or really describe their business. So we help with that by having a content writer that will help you with that. And part of search engine optimization is keeping that information updated on your site through blogs and through social media. Social media is super big deal. You have to be careful, though, because social media can take a lot of your time and
we were talking about that earlier, weren't we?
Not yield a lot of results.
Yeah.
And in fact, I've had people tell me, well, I have a Facebook page. Why would I need a website?
Yeah.
Well,
I think they all have to come. I mean, I can understand this because this is what we do, but they all have to coincide together. I completely agree with that. You find that a lot of people don't necessarily put two and two together that way?
Yeah, social media is frankly supposed to be social. And the side benefit of that is being aware of a business and getting some business that way. And top of mind awareness, TOMA, top of mind awareness is really important in marketing.
Yeah.
And in this area, particularly social is very big deal, a lot of social. But our main concern about social media is our goal is to drive traffic to your website. Because that's where your business is going to come.
Yeah.
So we utilize social media in a way that really grabs your potential consumers and keeps you in front of them in a way that's friendly. And then when they do need you, we drive them right to your website and then we hope for that conversion.
So you guys sort of have a one-stop shop for this kind of thing
at
Clever Ogre, right?
It's so fun too. And you know that phrase where it takes a village?
Yeah.
It totally takes a village. Yeah.
Especially with this kind of stuff. I absolutely agree.
It's so much work. You've got the back end of the website that you're constantly tweaking because the algorithm for Google's constantly changing. You've got to monitor the website. You've got to update the website. You've got to have a blog writer. You've got to have content. You've got to have social media posting. And, you know, Twitter, Facebook, Google Plus are our top. Those are the top that we work with. We work with Instagram, Pinterest, all kinds of different. But those are the main ones that are really have the best audience.
Yeah. So I can come to you guys and I can say, look, I want you to manage everything. I want you to post stuff for me.
Yep.
I want you to change my content in this many days. Or I can just say, hey, can you just get me set up and up and running? Maybe yes. Train me a little bit on how to do this kind of stuff.
We can do whatever level that you are able to do and want to do. And the biggest and most important first step is having that website that's got good, beefy, solid information on it that's unique. And that the website is built so that it's, you know, that it really reflects you as a business and brings your unique message out. And I think that that's where Clever Ogre really comes in and stands out from the crowd, is even with our name being different, we brand uniquely.
Yeah.
We want you to be special and really talk about your passion and why you're in business. You know, the second most trafficked page on a website is the About Us page.
Yeah.
It is.
Absolutely.
And you know why? And the reason why is because people want to know who you are. Do I know you? Have I seen you around town?
Right.
Why are you in business? Are you local?
Yeah.
You know, all of those questions. And those, it's really important. It's really important for me to understand that if I do business with you, that you're going to do a good job for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and I have to say, I mean, obviously here with the radio station and all the guests and stuff, when we're going back and just I'm doing research just so I hopefully know the person sitting across from me, that is the first place I go. It's not even the second click. The you type in the web address, when it comes up, it's straight to the About Us.
It is. And the thing that's really fun about online marketing too is really the consumer's got a voice now. The consumer has a voice and they're using it. You see it in reviews, you see it in comments, you see it in how they make a choice whether to use you or not. So it's really important that you give them the message that is important for them to hear from you. And a lot of people don't know what that is. They just know that they do this type of business. So we really kind of help vet that and bring it out for
Do you find more of building new pages for people, or do you guys go in and sort of, can you take an existing business's web design that they have and go in and alter it, or do you guys start over from scratch?
You know, it actually runs about 50-50.
Yeah.
About 50% of the time we're able to work with the site and either do a little bit of a redesign,
right,
or add content, and then market that site and drive traffic to that website. The other 50%, it's either so outdated, or it's not mobile friendly, or it's got really bad links attached to it,
right,
so that it's SEO wise, it's you know, had some black hat SEO done on
sure.
it, that type of thing. So we really, what we do when we meet is we audit your site and we take a look at really what is it you're trying to accomplish here. You know, because I can do your Facebook and I can take care of your website content and I can blog for you, and, you know, not me, but the people within the company. And we can do all of those things, but if we don't understand your business and we don't understand who you're targeting and your demographic, we're just throwing spaghetti against the wall. And that's not what we want to do.
Yeah, unless you're a chef, you don't want it to stick.
This has to bring you an ROI. This has to bring you a good return on investment. And the thing that's awesome about internet marketing is so transparent. We can show you exactly what we're doing. We can talk to you about all the analytics on your website. We can tell you where all your hits are coming from. We can tell you what device they're coming from when they come to you.
You really help dissect some data from your customer base.
How long they're on your website, what pages they go to, where they came, you know, where they go from there. It's really, really interesting. It's really, really interesting stuff. And probably the best thing for a business owner, I have to say, about online marketing is when you look at what you've had to do in the past to be visible, newspaper, TV, direct mail, all of those types of things, yellow pages,
billboards,
billboards,
radio.
And I wasn't going to say radio.
I said it. Lee was saying it too.
Okay. You add all those together, that's a pretty big budget.
Yeah.
It really is. So online marketing has brought down the cost of marketing.
Sure.
And you can really hone in and target your market as well, which is the beauty of what we do as well. So.
Very cool. Well, let's tell, and you're good at it. I mean, obviously, you know what you're talking about. So let's tell everybody where they can find you.
Yes. Well, we're at cleverogre.com, and my name is Jo Lynn, and I'm happy to talk with you at any time. And you can find us online. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter.
Just look up Clever Ogre. There's probably only one, isn't there?
Well, there's probably, who knows?
But yeah. We'll say that there's only one real one, right?
There's only one real one. Yes.
Well, cool. Well, I want to thank you for coming by and chatting with us today. I want to thank both Jamie and Lee again for stopping in. So, you guys have all had some really good information. I saw Jamie's gears turning in his head when you were talking, so there may be a conversation there when we're done. But again, this has been Pensacola Business Radio. You can find us at PCola Radio X. You can find us on Facebook at Pensacola Business Radio, or you can check us out on our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com. Again, thank all of you for coming in
thank
today.
You.
And
super fun.
I hope you guys have a great afternoon.
Thank you.